This is Vatican Radio and I'm Lydia O'Kane. Egypt's army was holding President Mohamed Morsi at a military facility in Cairo on Thursday after he was ousted from power. Army intervention was backed by millions of Egyptians, including liberal leaders and religious figures, who expect new elections under a revised set of rules. At least 14 people were killed and hundreds wounded in street clashes during protests. The constitution has been suspended and the head of the constitutional court is expected to be sworn in as interim leader. I spoke to resident scholar Michael Rubin from the American Enterprise Institute, who says the Egyptian people have seen the country sink further into decline. We've seen the protests, we've seen the discontent of the people. Looking at this from a certain perspective, what has brought, do you think, about this discontent? Is it maybe an economic content that things haven't been moving as quickly as people would have liked them to have moved under the Morsi administration?
Well, there really has been a perfect storm. Mohamed Morsi has managed to achieve in 1 year what his predecessor, Hosni Mubarak, took 30 years to do, which is completely antagonize a huge majority of the Egyptian population. Certainly, economic discontent underlies this, and indeed underlined the original Arab Spring protests, which unseated Hosni Mubarak. In his year in power, Mohamed Morsi has done very, very little to rectify the economy and is instead focused on more social issues, which many Egyptians don't particularly care for. This is why we had one of the main opposition leaders, former International Atomic Energy Agency Director General Mohamed al-Baradei, quip, "You can't eat Sharia," referring to the Islamic law which many of Mohamed Morsi's followers have been trying to implement in Turkey. So that is one aspect. There's also another aspect within the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is a strictly hierarchical organization, yet many of the younger followers hope that it would reform itself, that there would be more democratic consultation within the movement. But what we've seen over the last year is Mohamed Morsi use his executive authority not only within the Muslim Brotherhood, but within Egypt to a greater extent to implement and impose what didn't necessarily even pass by the Egyptian parliament.
The judiciary would also be another talking point, but also the threat to people's personal liberties, the threats to things like freedoms of expression and religion. Do you think that is also playing a part in this?
Well, indeed. Let's not forget that 10% of Egyptians are actually Christian, Coptic Christians, and they have suffered disproportionately over the last year as the Muslim Brotherhood and even some more radical factions in the governing coalition have turned their sights on the Christian community. Certainly, however, there has been a discontent about encroachments on not only freedom of speech, freedom of movement, but also especially with regard to freedom for the women. That said, it's important to recognize that the army doesn't provide any panacea. This goes back to what we were talking about before with the economics. Whoever runs Egypt is going to face a real mess because Egypt's foreign reserves are now empty. And so I suspect the military will want to operate only in the background rather than take control directly, because they know whoever holds the reins of power in Egypt is going to be facing some significant discontent over the next year.
Looking at this from an international perspective, do you think the international community is waiting to see what transpires?
Certainly, that seems to be the situation. Both in the United States and many Western nations tend to be almost like gamblers who only want to put their bets down once they see all the other cards on the table. Unfortunately, that's not the way the world works, and the result of that has been both sides in Egypt, be it the Muslim Brotherhood government or the opposition now in the street, assume that many of the Western nations in the international community are actually working for the other, are against them, which means rather than benefit from having an appearance of neutrality, there's a widespread assumption that the West is working against whichever faction wants their support.
Is there any hope for, in a sense, in this country where the economy is at rock bottom, things do seem to be at a very, very grim indeed. Is there light at the end of the tunnel, do you think?
You know, there might be light at the end of the tunnel, but the tunnel is much longer than many Egyptians realize. The fact of the matter is, Egypt has had a rocky economy for quite some time. It needs some serious reforms, and it no longer has the foreign reserves or the confidence to implement those reforms easily. Therefore, Egypt is in for a very bumpy ride over the next few years.
Just on one final point, we're still looking at people power in a sense, people protesting just like what was seen under Mubarak. It does again show the power of what people can do in a country.
Indeed. What we're also seeing, not only in Egypt, but Turkey last month and so forth, is a growing maturity with regard to an understanding of what democracy means. If at first many people in the region thought democracy just meant having elections, no longer are they under that notion. Now we're coming to the realization in the region that democracy simply isn't majority rule, that there has to be compromise, there has to be accountability. That's the lesson both Prime Minister Erdogan in Turkey and President Mohamed Morsi in Egypt are learning at the hands of their people as we speak.